And one of the things I just, I know Pastor Melissa asked me to, like, you know, she's going out of town and asked me to teach or preach today. And I know, like, a lot of you probably have known me for, like, the last year, and I've had some struggles, especially some physical struggles as well. And I haven't really given a lot of, like, detail on that or anything like that or testimonies, maybe, like, bits and pieces to people. But today I really feel like, you know, today's the day to kind of share what the Lord's been doing for the last year and how he's walked me through some things. And I just wanted to also share some things that I kind of learned and some kind of, like, glean from this as well. Because how many know, like, you can walk through the fire of the Lord, he will always make it valuable.
Yes.
There's nothing we walk through that he doesn't make valuable. What an amazing God we have. I mean, I just can't fathom just how much he's not just walked through this with me physically, but it's like he grew me so spiritually as well. So, like, spirit, soul, and body. He like nothing out. It's like the full package with God. That's what's amazing about it. There's the full package. He doesn't just give, like, bits and pieces. He gives us the full thing because he gave us all of Christ. He didn't just give us a piece. And it's like, you kind of, like, we always talk about, like, sozo and how it's like that always includes everything that we have. And it really does. It includes everything from provision to healing. But it's also, it includes knowing him more. And just this a faith that's unshakable as well, that he provides for us too. Like, just something that's just so powerful and beautiful. As we get to, like, walk through some of these fires with the Lord, and it just makes something that the enemy meant for evil, he makes just absolutely beautiful. And I know there's some people who have walked through these fires, and I can guarantee you, I don't know if anyone has done that. I know Pastor Dan can attest to this. Like, I don't regret a minute of it. Even the worst parts of it, stuff like that, it's like what God created out of that whole situation, I don't regret it at all. I think it's beautiful what he's done. So I'm going to share some of that with you today. Last year, I got really ill. I actually caught COVID, which was because of one thing. I was kind of like, I'm going to be the one who doesn't catch it. And, like, you know, my faith is solid and stuff like that, which obviously, like, you know what? That's like me not being truthful to myself. And so I did wind up catching COVID. Didn't realize how sick I'd gotten from that. I just thought I was kind of tired afterwards. Kind of some tired stuff going on. But I just started experiencing some, like, different, like, kind of symptoms and things like that as well. And so I'm just like, I'm walking in faith, walking in what the Lord has for me to do. And I remember, like, having a conversation with him because I started to get really scared. Like, what's going on here? So I started, like, losing weight. I started having some serious, like, issues that were going on. I couldn't describe, couldn't understand. And how many know you, the first thing you don't do is just go on the computer and start trying to diagnose yourself? What a terrible idea. Okay, but a terrible idea. Don't ever do that. First off, you're more than likely going to get it wrong. Okay, and at the same time, you're just sowing, like, you're literally, like, planting seeds of discord and doubt into your heart is what's going happening. That's really what's happening. Is that you're just like, and your imagination takes over, and all of a sudden, you're taking yourself down paths you don't really want to go down. Heard? All right. So I started doing that, like, just being not the smartest person, but at the same time, like, because we need to understand what's happening. What's happening? What's going on? Why? We always ask the why. Why? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? And so I remember talking with the Lord because I was getting really, like, afraid because people kept saying, oh, like, you don't look very well and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay. I don't feel very well either, but I thought, well, I just started in this new position at a job and stuff like that. So maybe it's just stress and anxiety and stuff like that. I kept kind of writing it off. And I just finally asked the Lord, I said, you know, what's happening? I'm starting to get scared. This came into my mind. He was just like, what do you want to do? And I was just like, I don't know what to do. And it came to the point where I was like, he's like, essentially I came up to two choices. I could go that route where I've been kind of going with all the diagnosis, stuff like that, and go sort of this doctor route and get stuff like that, which people today are kind of like, maybe I should have done that. But I said to the Lord, I was like, I want... Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay, is that better? Okay, that's better. So, and the other route was to walk with him through it. And I was just like, Lord, you got to help me with this because I'm terrified, right? I'm scared. You have to help me with this and see what that, but it's like, I really want the best. Now, I said I really want the best, and it's like, I don't regret that, but man, I didn't know what the best meant, right? Okay. So I kept praying, kept believing, and I'll be honest with you. I was like, how many know I'm praying and I know the Lord like helped me out with all my fear, and he like took away a lot of fear, like I had of like dying and things like that as well. But how many know you still feel it?
Yeah.
Okay? All right. That still doesn't mean that God can't like work in those moments. It doesn't mean that I still don't believe that God's true. Mm-hmm. All right? It was learning how to believe God through the feelings, through the situation. That's what it was about. Trusting him regardless of what I was feeling in the moment.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
All right? And that's a difficult spot to be in. I'll be honest with you. It's difficult. It's hard. So I'm kind of walking through this, Chad Gonzalez comes, and I'm just like, oh yes, Chad's coming into town. This is the day. I knew it. Like, this is going to be the moment where everything's going to be perfect. So I went to, and Chad prayed upon me, and I had a powerful impact from the Lord in that moment. I mean, it's the power, I just felt the power of God, like, just energized through me, and I just like, yes, this is it. And so I knew I was perfectly healed. I knew that was done. This powerful man of God healed me, Jesus healed me through him, and that's like, I have... No, I will be perfectly healed from this moment on. No issues. But I still had problems. And I was like, Lord, I know I was healed. I know I was healed. Right? I know that's what it was. But he kept saying to me, but you asked for the best. And I was like, okay, I don't really know what that means. And he said, because I'm going to show you things as you walk through this fire with me. And it wasn't just a simple healing. It was more than that. It was like something that happened, a healing from the inside out, and healing that happened inside here. He was preparing me for something more inside that was going to be like manifesting itself outward. And that's the amazingness of our God. So I was walking, and then I just started getting worse symptoms, and to the point where it's like in November, I was just like, Lord, I just can't take it anymore, because I was in so much pain and so much hurt that I did have to wind up having to go to the hospital. And just to kind of give you an idea of what they had diagnosed me with, it took them like 10 days to figure it out, actually more than that. But it's like, I guess they had caused some blood clots in my kidneys. And so really what happened was my kidneys failed. And my kidney failing created my heart failure. So I had, and they were just kind of like hitting off each other. As the more that my kidneys failed, my heart would fail more, and then my heart would fail more, and my kidneys would fail more. So it's this endless cycle, to the point where it's like I was like really at the brink of like literally not being here anymore. I finally was like, I just this one morning, it's like right after Thanksgiving, and I just was praying with the Lord, and the Lord said, it's time to go to the hospital. I'm like, Lord, but I'm walking this over with you. He's like, go to the hospital. And so I did. And when I got in there, the doctors were more afraid than I was. They were terrified of the situation. They couldn't figure out what had gone. They just know that I was going downhill fast. And they're just like, honestly, it's like, you know, with the way your heart's working and your kidneys, especially your heart, it's like you should be, like, you might not make it any, like, you could be dying any moment, like, through a stroke or a heart attack or something. And so they were, like, giving me the worst case scenario, but I just had this peace that the Lord gave me throughout that whole situation. And I'm just like, I'm more cheerful than the doctors. And I'm just kind of like, hey, listen, what's going on? How are you doing today? Jesus loves you. And we're just like, there's a peace that goes beyond understanding. And I still don't understand it. I don't understand how, like, I could be in that situation and the people who are trying to diagnose me is more afraid than I am. But I know God had something for me because he told me. And I know God is always faithful to his promises.
That's right.
But that's the only thing I held on to. Right? That's the only thing I had, guys. I didn't have, like, anything else except his word in my life. That's it. Right? I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you're so helpless, where you can't, like, I mean, yes, I think when you saw me when I came back out of the hospital, I was completely helpless. I couldn't even take a shower by myself. I had to have help. I had to have assistance. I was in a wheelchair for a while. So to be in that place of complete helplessness and not know, and be completely helpless without any power to do anything, it's like, it's a very scary situation because I can do nothing for me. The only thing I had to rely upon was God. That's it. All right, the doctors were kind of like trying to figure things out, and thank goodness, like, he blessed me with some amazing doctors as well, which was great. But it's like, it was just Jesus in those moments. And sometimes the only thing that I could say in those moments was, I trust you. That's it. I trust you. I mean, there were times when you're fighting. How many knows it's like fighting in the head is very difficult sometimes. You're fighting off fears. You're fighting off these things and these this what people are saying and what doctors are saying and stuff like that. And the only thing I could say, like literally just curl up and just, I trust you. I trust you. All right? And so I was in the hospital for 10 days. They still couldn't figure out what was going on. It was until, like, after they got in the hospital, I had, like, multiple biopsies. I had so many blood tests. I mean, I can't even count how many tests I had. At one point in the hospital, they almost switched off the lights for good for me because I had, I guess I had a bad reaction to this medication they had had. I guess some of those nuclear medicines or also, actually, I still don't really know, but I got one of those stress tests, but they actually, like, put medication in me because I was too weak to actually run the treadmill. And after that, it's like I got back to my room, and next thing I know, I woke up, and there's, like, 8 doctors around me, and they're terrified. And I'm downstairs in a completely different room, and they're like, we couldn't revive you, right? Like, they literally, like, kind of, like, I, like, was, like, in a, like, a brief coma. Like, I could not get me to wake up. I could not anything. I don't remember anything about that. Next thing you know, I'm stuck into an MRI, and it's like they're just kind of like, we don't know what's going on. We think you got problems with, like, now, like, brain problems. I'm like, I don't believe that. So there was, like, it was a kind of a dire situation that I was in. Getting out of the hospital, like I said, I couldn't really do anything. I was just completely weak. Luckily, I have my parents help me out because that still had to work because we still had to have income. In the midst of this, as I was got out of the hospital, I probably a week or two later, they actually, like, came up with my diagnosis, saying, like, oh, well, here's the situation. You've had heart failure, kidney failure. Your kidneys are this. They're never going to be good again. You might as well start thinking about kidney transplant. We're going to get you on the list and start doing this as well, right? So we'll get you on the kidney transplant list, and you need to start thinking about, like, you know, studying up on dialysis. And I'm kind of like, okay. The next day after that, after I got the diagnosis from the doctor, because I'm still kind of reeling from that, trying to fight over, like, well, Lord, I trust you, keeping the same thing, I trust you. In those moments, my job calls me and tells me that I no longer have an appointment there, that they decided to go ahead and let me go because I'd been in the hospital for the last 2 weeks, and they didn't know what was going to happen, so they decided just to go ahead and let me go. So all this compounding together at one time, not very fun. Didn't have fun doing that. But the only thing I could say was, I trust you. That was it. I trust you, Lord. And luckily, I have an amazing wife, too, that was absolutely pinnacle in my life. Who stood by me because I saw the contrast between what other people were doing and saying and what my wife was saying. And she would always say, God has this. God has this. He's got us. If I didn't have that in my life, I promise you, like that, and her confirming that word that's in my life, I would be in a very, very bad spot. So came home from the hospital at that diagnosis, no longer have a job. What am I going to do about income? And now I have like a huge, gigantic, can't even begin to tell you, bill from the hospital. doctors, I figured out doctors aren't cheap. And it's like, you know, when aspirins cost $10 for a piece, you know, it gets a little bit trying. And so, you know, and like at the time I had been making quite a lot more income. So when we had in the hospital, they kind of ask you like go and put you on for financial aid and stuff like that as well. I had a higher income because I was an F&B director at this place. And so I was like, there's no way they're going to do it because I'm way over the income and stuff like that. But now all of a sudden I don't have a job. But now so the bills aren't going to stop coming. All right, and I want to say thank you to all the church who's blessed me as well, because I did get some blessings from the church. But I wound up calling the owner, say, hey, listen, what's going on? It's like, I just literally got terminated, but I need something, a severance package or something, at least to kind of get me through. Well, God worked it out where it's like, honestly, like they actually wound up paying like me for 12 weeks of the FMLA. But at the end, they were just like, you know what? We just don't know if we want to take a chance on you, take a opportunity, you know, to see what this might recur. We just don't know what the diagnosis. And so I'm like, well, Lord, I'm going to need a job to figure that out. And I literally applied to this one spot. The Lord highlighted to me, and I got the job, and I never missed a paycheck from the FLA. The week that the paycheck from the FLA stopped, I got my other paycheck. I mean, that's just how good God is. I mean, it's like he provided every single step of the way. They're trying to tell me that I'm going to be on disability for life. I need to go and start, like, applying for disability. Yeah, that's it. It's over. You're never going to work again. You're going to be disabled. All right? I even still have, like, my disabled placard in my car. I try not to use it when I have to hop into the store, but Lord's like, don't, you know, you're not disabled, stop doing that. So, but every once in a while, you gotta run to the store. But no, it expires this month, okay? It expires this month. It was just a temporary one, okay? All right, I'm telling them my own self. I should delete that out of the speaker there. But that's how serious that whole situation was. And just kind of like get on to like what God's kind of showed me through this. I just had gone back to the doctors and what, you know, my two, a nephrologist and a cardiologist. The cardiologist, I get my echo test, get my EKG back, perfectly normal. No issues, no problem. No problems at all. Right? Back at work, working more than I wanted to, 10-12 hours a day, no issues, no problem at all. Because that was the thing too, like, you know, I was so weak coming out of it, will I be able to actually like do a job that you're on your feet for 10-12 hours a day? God's helped me completely through that. I've never had one issue, not one issue. I kind of like, you're at the end of the day, you're kind of amazed, like, what, why am I still upright, you know? Went back to the nephrologist. Nephrologists were like, you know, we need to start talking about like how to get you on the kidney transplant, doing stuff like that as well. I'm like, but you don't know my God. Okay, amen. You diagnosed me, but you forgot to put Holy Spirit into the mix of the diagnosis. All right. Last time I went back over there, he's like, my kidney function has improved too much. He can't even put me on the list.
Amen.
Now he's like, well, you know how doctors are. Well, you're not out of the woods yet. You know, this is just temporary. And I'm like, if God's is temporary, then great, but he's not. God's not temporary. Okay. And so, walking through this, you know, what did I glean? Because I feel like there's just some important information here that God's like shown me personally. And it's a very personal thing, walking through these things. And I want to start off with this warm quote that we get from Andrew Murray. And this really hit me hard because I started reading through some of his stuff. And it says that pride and self have the all of man till man has his all from Christ. And that's really what it is. It's one of the things that I've really learned from all of this is like just how much I wasn't humble before the Lord. And humbleness isn't me, you know, making myself into this worm and getting all the way on the ground and like just berating myself and stuff like that. Humbleness is complete dependency on God. It really is. It's this completeness that we have where we just trust him with everything. And it's like, I can't really do that just by my will, right? There has to be something more to that. And so I want to kind of go through it. And I think it first starts off with this, and it's why it's important. It's like, I realized through this whole thing, my mindset was wrong until after I began to see how wrong thinking I really had in all of this. So go with me, and unfortunately we're going to have to turn Bibles today. So go with me to 1 Peter, and I want to kind of go through kind of like this passage in chapter 5, and this is like 5 through 11, and he talks about humbleness here. You know, he starts off with this chapter talking about the shepherds of the flock, talking about liturgy, ministry, and stuff like that. Again, how we're just supposed to be submissive to one another. Not, you know, as ministers and shepherds of the flock and people as well, we're not supposed to take advantage of people. We're supposed to give our lives for people. We're supposed to be giving our lives for each other, give our lives to you, right? Not for gain, but for sacrifice. And then he goes on to say, in verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. So this is kind of like the completion of the church. We're really supposed to be submitting to one another. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. I love this thing about being clothed with humility. That word for clothed literally just means like, it literally was a garb or like a fastener that servants would wear to distinguish themselves as servants. Right? They would literally distinguish themselves as a servant and clothe themselves with that. It's like a fastener. It also means like a fastener or like it was overalls that they would put on. So there's two things. It would distinguish them as a servant, but at the same time, it also put in the mind that they're ready for work. They're ready to work. Right? Not working for others, but it's like, I'm going to be submissive to another person to do what I can for others. Right? That's really what they're like. So I'm here to serve that other person. That's the being clothed with humility. And the greatest example of that is Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus Christ, his clothing, his fastener was humanity. He clothed himself with humanity and became submissive all the way to the cross. He clothed himself with humanity, became a servant of all. Right? That was his distinguishing thing. So when he put on humanity, he says, I'm a servant to you all. I came here to serve you.
Yes.
Not to judge you, not to condemn you, but to serve you, to bring you into a place that's oneness with me, and just to show you exactly how the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit work too, because they're all submissive to one another too. There's this humility there that I really want to grasp. I can only do that by seeing Jesus. Because I can't do it by seeing myself and trying to figure it out in the brain and the mind. This is a Jesus thing. He gives us grace for that. But there's a willingness to know it. There's a willingness to receive it from him, right? And especially in that secret place as well, the renewing of our mind. We need to be transformed, not conformed to the world. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. But the first part of that passage in Romans 12 talks about being a living sacrifice, right? Verse right before, it talks about being a living sacrifice. So we'll keep going on here. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, seeks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I love this. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, guys, are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to what? His eternal glory. Right? By Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
How awesome is that? Right? That passage is just phenomenal. That casting your care upon the Lord. We like to think that we're casting our cares on the Lord when a lot of times we're just clenching harder. Right? Because we know that we should be healed. We should be walking in things. We should be walking in health. We should have all these provisions, stuff like that. But we're trying to do it our way. We're just clenching harder. A lot of times where we just should be letting go and trusting and knowing that the Lord has got you. He does. And sometimes the only thing we can say is, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I don't know what this financial situation is going to look like, Lord, in front of me. I don't know how to make that work. And my mind started thinking, how can I start to make this fixed? How can I get this fixed? How can I make it work better? But in the midst of that, we forget the mindset of just saying, I trust you, Lord. And then he could direct your steps. And I don't know what he has in plan. I don't know how he could fix those problems. But I know in those situations that he will make something good come out of it all. Right? And then it goes on to say, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, seeks about like a roaring lion, with seeking whom he may devour. The enemy will bring whatever he can to try to destroy us. Right? I mean, physically, spiritually, the whole nine yards, that's all he can do. He tries to get us. And the most important area here he does that in is in the mind, right? Sorry, getting us to walk down these other paths, leaving, not trusting the Lord. The Lord's like, I want to bring you into me. I want to bring you into more of that sort of trust me and the more of that relationship, and let me show you what I can do, all right? Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And I like that because what I found a lot of times when I've been walking through a lot of situations, even in this past, was by keeping that clenched fist, by not casting those cares upon the Lord, what I was doing, I was really resisting God, right? Because I wasn't just letting it go. I wasn't just letting him. And that's not a matter of not caring or not believing. Listen, I believe in him. I believe in the things that God was doing in my life. But I had to let it go and trust him with it. Does that make sense? There's a mindset here that we need to grasp, right? It even talks about Jesus Christ coming down. It's like, let the same mind be in you that it was in Christ, right? That he came down, put himself in humanity, so like humbled himself all the way to the cross. So there's something that we can glean from that, realizing that there's something more than just us, and that we're living for something more than just us. We're living for him. Our lives don't belong to us anymore. That's why I say give it over to him. That's what's so powerful about it, because when I give it over to him, he's the best person to take care of it. Not me. I'll mess it up. But he has me perfectly in his arms, in his hands, and he'll take care of me perfectly in every situation. And then the other says, but may the God of all grace, who called us by his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we're not going to suffer some. Right? We are. There's going to be problems. There's going to be situations. There's going to be things that are going to happen in our lives. But the promise is the fact that it's like God's got this, and he will make something beautiful come out of it. Not only that, he'll exalt you. He'll perfect you. He'll strengthen you in those times. You'll come out better on the other end than when you started, if you just trust him in that. So what a couple of things about when I was kind of I'm trying to figure out how to like teach this because it's my testimony, but a couple of mindsets that I had that were very difficult. Anybody like had like something happen in their life and they're just trying to think like, why is this happening? This seems unfair. What's going on?
Yes.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Right. I must have missed it somewhere. All right. What sin can I commit? What happened here? And now our brains go to this thing. We need this rationale. We need to try to figure out what's going on. But I just started thinking. I was like, Lord, like I still don't understand what happened. What did I go wrong? Did I mess something up? We start going to these other teachings. It's like, you know, where it's like, well, you know, if there's this sin in your life, then this could create this kind of like illness. Or if there's this sin in your life, then it kind of create this kind of illness and stuff like that as well. And I'm like, Lord, I really don't know what I did wrong. What am I doing? Am I doing something wrong? What happened? But did I not believe enough? Right? How many gets that one? I must not have enough faith. Right? And I'm like, then the Lord's just like, you're not thinking the way I think. I'm like, well, show me an example of that. So go with me to John 9, and I want to show you something cool. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And this is about the blind man from birth. And I think this is a great example of how God's mind thinks. Right? It says, now as Jesus passed, this is 9:1, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that the same questions I'm asking about myself? What happened? That's my thought process. This is my mindset is, oh, there's something that had to happen. I didn't do something right. I didn't declare something perfectly today. I haven't been spending enough time in my scriptures. I haven't done something right that allowed this thing to happen that's going to happen in my life. And I'm not saying like that, hey, listen, I'm not saying there's not open doors that we provide. Absolutely, 100%. But I'm just trying to change the way it looked, see how we think and then how God thinks. Now, Jesus said, answered this, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Do we get this? Do we see how powerful that is? This is a completely different way of thinking that they were thinking. I don't know if his parents or that guy sinned. I don't know what happened, right? Jesus is just like, there's bad stuff that happens, there's bad stuff in the world. But here's my mindset. My goal, my purpose, my thought process is I'm going to use this to reveal who God is to the world. I'm going to use this situation. This kid, this guy has been blind since birth. I guess he's not had the best life, right? Probably hasn't had the best life for the last few years. And not only that, if you look, read later in the chapter, you begin to see that his parents pretty much kind of gave up on the tombs. Like, you know what? You know, he can answer for himself. I'm not going to defend him. I'm too afraid to. So he's kind of on his own. So you see that kind of like a little glimpse into what that family situation was like. Probably not great. They were probably ashamed of him. Because they probably thought the same way. There must have been something on it. Could have been something that we did that created this whole situation. And Jesus was like, I'm going to take all of that stuff for that like past life that you've been walking through, and I'm going to make something valuable out of it so that it's not valueless in that whole situation. So for this last, however many was, 30 years you've been walking this blindness, I'm going to make it valuable by showing who God is through you. That's how God thinks. Right? So we come up into these situations and we're thinking to ourselves, what do we do wrong? What happened? What happened here? What happened there? And God's like, let me show you how I can show the world through you who I am. Even in these situations. Doesn't matter how it began, right? Obviously, we know we live in a fallen world where the enemy's trying to hurt us. But let me show you what I can do through that situation. You see, here's the thing. What I find out in my life is, I like to try to know what God's will is in every situation, and I try to match the circumstance to God's will. But what I'm starting to realize now is like I need to submit to God's will even in the circumstance and amidst the circumstance, right? Because I know what his goal in that whole situation, if I clench my fist, is he's going to glorify himself through me to the world. And that's what I want. Because I'm not going to walk through it without value. He's going to take something that the enemy meant for bad and create something amazing. Not only am I going to get, I call it the win-win. Not only am I going to get benefited from that, because I'm going to get all the provision he has for me through that sozo life he's created for me, but at the same time, I get to show the world who he is in that situation. It's almost like we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. It's kind of like that, right? That's one of the things I gleaned from that. I thought it was very powerful for me because I want to think like you, Jesus. I want to think the way you think. And that's kind of like transforming some of the like other things in my life as well. Like I want to go into every situation knowing that it's like there's something good on the other end, right? And he's good enough to do that, right? He's got it all figured out. All right, let's see what else we got here. But let's piggyback on that. Go to Romans 8 with me. I get to teach some of my favorite stuff today. And let's just kind of walk through that real quick because I don't have much time left. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Okay. Romans 8. So, and I love this part. So go to verse 18. And I love how this is because we just talked about being spiritually minded versus carnally minded, and he's talking about like how we're children of the Most High God, we have this new spirit in us, Abba Father. Then he goes on to say in 18, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, I don't think that's just a future thing. I think that's a now thing. I think he wants to reveal his glory in us, who we are now to the world. Right? That's why he's giving it to us. Okay? "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." Yet everything was waiting for us to be revealed to the world, right? Then the manifestation of God through us to the world. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him subjected it in hope." All right? So this is also something we're going to be seeing in the future too, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So this is something, this is, like, listen, there is an end to all this, and we win. Plain and simple. We went. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." How many people are groaning on the inside? I tell you what, it's like, I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready. The Lord's got some stuff left for us to do, but I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for a new body, new whole situation. Right? And then it says, "For we have been saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for that what he sees?" So just because we don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. God's hope isn't something that's just like frivolous and it's a maybe. God's hope is a truth.
Yep.
Right? We could actually put weight on it.
Yep.
Okay? It's like, you know, we won the lottery, but we're still cashing in. Okay? "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Are we waiting things out with perseverance? Are we waiting? Because last time I checked, and James talks about the same thing, about patience and perseverance, even in Romans 5, that it's like these tribulations were joyful because they produced this in us. Right? Because this faith that we have, when it's tried, produces something powerful. Produces perseverance. Right? Let's see. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Right? So, we have Holy Ghost. We have a helper and someone who walks with us side by side every single moment of every single day. So, you're definitely not alone in this situation. But not only that, gives us, quickens our body, but also at the same time, like, he gives us everything we need in all those situations. So there's not a situation that you are not, don't, you're not equipped to work out with the Lord. There's not one. Right? And I didn't mean to go all that. I should have just skipped a couple of verses. But "now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this is the verse I want to get to. Because he's just talking about, okay, we've gotten some provision, we've got Holy Ghost, we get all this stuff, we have this sort of expectation that we have. And then he goes on to say in verse 28, and do you know this? He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you know that? It does not matter what the situation is in front of you. God can work something good in that situation for his good because that's God. Do you know that? Do you know that he works all things together for good? All things. No matter what the circumstance you're walking through, he can work it out for good. One of the things I've also learned, too, is like, you know, when I took over this new position in my job, I was like, you know, Lord, I don't understand because I have less time for the church. I have less time like this. And my thought process is like, well, this doesn't mean, where did I miss God? May not be the right job. And God was just like, don't discount what I can do with right in front of you. I'm teaching you something through this job, right? This is the place you're supposed to be. But I had to think of it the way that I want to think of it. Well, Lord, it's not matching exactly how I thought it would work out. It's not matching exactly the way that I think it should work, right? And so what happens with that is like I can miss what God's doing because I want to do it my way, thinking that it's God's way. So I submit to that. I submit to his way. Say, Lord, because I know no matter what that situation is, he's going to work something together for good. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that he's going to work something all together for good for me and for his purpose. And let me see what else. Man, I'm running out of time. I wanted to preach so much more. I don't think I have time. So I guess the last thing I just want to kind of glean from that, which I think is a very powerful one, but this is one that it's like it's really going to have to be with you and the Holy Spirit, is my life doesn't belong to me anymore. I gave that to Jesus. It's Galatians 2:20. It's no longer that I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who died for me. He died for me. And I gave my life over to him. And I want to make sure that it's like my life manifests him. I want to make sure that my life and everything I have in it reflects who God is to the world. And I'll be honest with you, hear my heart on this. It's not God's will for me to go through problems. It's not God's will for me to be sick. It's not God's will to do those things. But I'm willing to walk through anything if it glorifies God. I'm willing to be the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego person who says, you know what, throw me in the fire. Because I want you to see that there's someone else in the fire with me. I want the world to see the fact that there's someone in there with me. And he's taking care of me. Right? That's my mindset. That's my heart. That's what I want to see more of. Because when it's all said and done, again, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. Right? I'm not here to just survive. That's just too little to live for. Right? I want to glorify my Father and my Savior to the world who they are. I want those rivers of living water to come from the inside and come splashing out to everyone around me. And however God wants to get me there, I know he'll get me there. He just needs me to unclench my fist and allow me to have the mindset to allow him to do these things in my own life. And he will get me. He began a good work in me. He'll finish it. He will finish it. I'm firmly convinced about that. So I'm not daunted by the next circumstance or the opportunity that comes its way. You know, James 1, it talks about, again, be joyful when it comes. In fact, let's go to James real quick, and then I'll finish up with that. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Sometimes I feel that when a problem or situation comes on. That's the last thing I'm thinking of, is like, how could I make it work? I'm thinking, how can I make it work using God's principles? But I'm not unclenching my fist. I'm not allowing him to just take over. I'm not allowing him. I'm not really casting my cares upon the Lord. That same word for cares is it's also the exact same word that it talks about when the thistles and thorns and the cares of this world and the seed, how it chokes up the seed. It's the same thing. It's the exact same word. I don't want the fruit and the seed of the word choked out in my life because I'm unwilling to clench my fist and cast those things upon the Lord. I want to count it joyful when I get into those situations, when I get into situations where I don't know what I'm going to do. What's going to happen? I'm thinking, wait, this is awesome because I know God's got something great. It's going to be awesome to see what he's going to do. Right? You see that difference in mindset that we have? Like, who's willing to do that? Who's willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm willing to walk through the fire, right, to glorify him. I'm willing to walk through those things. Again, I'm not saying that he creates those situations. He does not. But I also know there's the things in here, it's like it says, count it all joy when you go through these things. It doesn't say if you're not going to, if you're going to. There's going to be things that's going to go in our lives that we're going to have to face. Plain and simple. And we're not going to know what to do. We're going to try to figure out. And our first thing we usually go to is our rational mind, trying to figure things out. And then we throw the word of God into the mix of that as well. But we have never unclenched what we have and really given it over to the Lord and really casted that care upon him. And I'm telling you, he makes it worthwhile. And it's like he gave me way more than I expected. He showed me in areas and slayed giants in my life I never thought I was trying to do on my own. He just got rid of as I walked through these things. Because that's God. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be more like him, but he's also the one who's going to make that happen for us. We just unclench and allow him to do it. That's what being in his rest is all about. And believing that he knows that he's going to get us there. And not being daunted by the next thing that comes into our lives. Again, that we don't know. See it as an opportunity that, oh man, what's God going to do now in my life? There's going to be something amazing. And look for God in all those situations. Don't discount what he's doing in front of you right now in these moments. If there's things in your life right now that you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's happening, look to see. Like, Lord, just yield yourself. Say, look, what do you have for me here? Start looking for them in those situations. One of the things I taught last year, which I really still believe in, is that it says he prepares a feast in the midst of our enemies, right? There's not a better place to eat when you're surrounded by your enemies. And the Lord always has that feast ready to go for you. Are you willing to sit down at the table and eat? Right? Are we going to get stuck trying to figure out how to get rid of the enemies around us? We don't. We sit down. We go in peace and we sit down and we eat with the Lord. We eat what he has in front of us. He's got something there for me to grow me, to grow me, like, again, physically, spiritually, all right, and mentally. Just all, the whole nine yards. He's got it for us. And I think that's just that's the beautifulness of our God. All right? All right, everybody good?
Yes.
Okay. I had about 3 hours more, but I kind of had to cut it down a little bit. So, but all right, awesome. Well, we're going to have Giselle come up and do some communion now. Yeah, it's time.
This. Testing, 1, 2, 3. It doesn't sound like I can really hear. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Not everybody got it. You have yours? Well, while you guys are doing that. I want to say the blood is enough. The blood is enough. So one of the benefits, so the scripture says that when we take communion, that we are proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ, right? We proclaim his death. And one of the benefits of his death was that the blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So if you have something in your life, especially from your past, and it's still plaguing you, because that's what happens to me. sometimes my past comes up, and it'll make me feel like I'm unworthy. Like it'll make me feel like God is there and I'm here. And I heard somebody say one time, and they were just talking, and they said that the blood was enough. And I don't know how many times I heard that, but that one time, just that one time, she said, the blood is enough. And I heard it. I actually heard it. The blood is enough. I don't care what you did last night. The blood is enough. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is none. Are y'all hearing me? The blood is enough. It cleanses you from all unrighteousness. All. Not some. It cleanses you from all. And that is so freeing to know that you don't have to go around condemning yourself, beating yourself, feeling guilty, feeling condemned, because God is not condemning you. Remember, Jesus came into this world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. So always remember that the blood, it truly is enough. Amen? All right, this is the body, the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do this. We take your body, and we do this in remembrance of you. Eat. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you for dying for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's so amazing when you think about it, because God did everything. He did it all. He died for us. He gave us his blood, the blood that cleanses us from righteousness, all unrighteousness, so that he can make us righteous. Think about that. He actually made us righteous. We didn't have to go out and try to get righteousness. We didn't have to try to be righteous. He did it. He did it. You are righteous. Amen? It's so amazing when you think about the things that he's done. He gets a bad rap in this world. People really don't know how good he truly is. It's the blood. The blood is enough. Amen? All right. There you go, Megan. Well, no, you still need it. You want to close this out?
Just like, does anybody have anything they want to share? If you got a testimony as well, or anything like that you wanted to share, please share it. Don't keep it yourself. Or if you got a word, oh, go ahead. Oh, come up. Oh.
Jesus, you love Jesus, we all love Jesus.
Amen.
No saying, I guess.
That's right.
I like that.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else got anything you really want to share? Really? No?
This one scripture came to me that we all know it. And you shared it. You went through it. And he said, fear not, for I redeem thee. I called thee. He said, personal by thy name.
By thy name.
No walker through the fire. No passes through waters that shall not be burned.
Yeah.
No passes through the fire that shall not be burned. Even the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Isn't that amazing? Like, I mean, it's like it doesn't really matter what the enemy throws our way. God just makes something beautiful come out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not that smart. Like, he's just way smarter than me. All right. Anyone else got something? Oh, man, I could have preached for longer, guys.
I'll share. A lot of this. Job a couple years ago that I'd been at for a very long time, and I'd worked really
Lord.
And I have this job now, which I keep forgetting how much of a blessing it is, because I have so much more time, and they don't put tons mm-hmm. of pressure on me, and I'm able to be a better father and husband, and it truly is a blessing.
Right?
And,
it is.
I don't recognize many times how God is working for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I really believe, you know, that's part of the renewing of our mind too, is also mm-hmm. is like in those David moments, it's just kind of like letting the Holy Spirit just kind of remind us just how much God's brought through us in some of those situations, and just realizing that it's like, I mean, really the Bible, I mean, Jesus did say in John 15, outside of him, we can do nothing. Not that we are nothing, but we can do nothing.
Right.
It's like, man, I want to get to that point where I really see that every single day in my life, where it's like, Lord, this is all you today. I'm here. I'm listening, just like Jesus did. I do what the Father says. I hear what the Father says. I want to do the same thing. I want to, like, I'm just going to do what you say. And, like, not just that we're just, like, puppets on the air, but there's a mindset here of, like, just giving it all to him. And I think that's beautiful, man. That's awesome.
Well, and I had to remember to let go.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to control things. I felt like I needed to be working harder. I felt I needed to be doing all these things. And then I just needed to let it go, and this is where God wants me, and I just need to do what I'm told when I'm told to do it.
Right. You know? And I just, when I, and again, like I said, what he's doing right now for you, like, don't discount. Like,
yes, right.
I do this all the time. Like, listen, I want to try to do what God, my heart is, I want to do exactly God's will, and I want to do exactly how he wants to do things and things like that as well. And sometimes I don't really know. But my heart is always towards that. And it's like a lot of times, like, I'm still preaching, so sorry. But a lot of times, like, you know, a lot of times we come to these choices in our lives. And this is something, like, I read a lot of time ago with Tony Stoltzfus. But as we come to these decisions, and we think, say, two-dimensionally. Okay, here's a block in the road, right? And we have to go either left or we have to go right. And it's like we're so freaked out by if we're making the right choice. Oh, what if I messed up? I messed up and right. So if we think like that, and we go left, and it doesn't go based upon the expectations that we had, then we're like, well, we must have missed something. We made the wrong choice. Not realizing that that's not how God thinks. God thinks this way, right? Doesn't matter what that blockage is. God can get, it doesn't matter if there's a mountain, then he can move the mountain, whatever. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that we have this vertical relationship with him. And in those moments, it doesn't matter the circumstance as much as it matters the fact that our hearts are towards him, and he can produce something great in those circumstances.
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we like to think this way, and he's thinking this way.
That's right.
We got to start thinking this way. We got to start thinking that, like, towards him in all these situations, and trying to second guess God in our lives, not realizing, like, that's like, it's like that whole navigation thing, right? If you went, doesn't matter if you went the wrong way. It just recalculates to the right way. That's how good God is. He's going to recalculate you to where you need to go. And actually, at the same time, grow you in the situations as we trust you. So I really don't think there's really a lot of, like, I got to be careful on this because I'm recording. But this is Jeremyism. But if your heart's always towards the Lord like that, and we have this humble position, I don't know if he can make a wrong choice in terms of our circumstances of life, because he will always make something great come out of it, because our hearts are always towards him.
That's right.
Would say that even if we mess it up.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
He's a master of making good out of that.
Exactly.
So even if we mess it up, doesn't matter.
Exactly. Doesn't matter. Because some of the.
We make something beautiful out of it.
Exactly. Some of my worst messes, guys, created some amazing things out of my life.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And what's great about that is, like, he doesn't get offended.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. He's not offended by that. He's like, I'll get you there.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. He's the only one that can get
He's
you there.
He's the only one. So there's this beauty that it's almost, to me, I'm kind of like, it's like a sigh of relief, like, oh, you mean I can really just rely on you and just give all that up and just realize you got something good and just walk, actually enjoy walking this life? I didn't know I could enjoy this life. You can.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, and don't be scared to descend.
Yeah.
To
exactly.
That's amen. There you go.
Amen to that. I know you had that amazing testimony.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was right in line with everything.
Right, yeah. Right, well, because you get to the point, like, I know you had that helplessness, and you're just like, Jesus, help me. I mean,
down in the shower, everything.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, he's just too good. He's too good. And it's like, the world needs to know just how good he is. And it's like, you know what? It's like, you know, I don't regret walking through the fire. I know, again, he didn't create it, but at the same time, I don't regret it. Because the world can know through what he's done in my life how amazing he is. Isn't he awesome?
He is awesome.
He took something, awesome. I mean, like people would be like, to me, you'd be like, we should be depressed. I'm like, why? The Lord's amazing. Look what he's done. I can't be depressed about anything because he's amazing.
He's amazing. Right? And it's so amazing. The world, they're running from him, but they don't even know that he's the very thing they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You have no clue. Until you find him, you don't know he is what you've been looking for the whole time.
That's right. Amen.
The whole time.
Amen to that. That's awesome. That's right.
It's awesome.
Yep.
It really just is that good.
Yeah. Love it. Anyone got anything else?
Nothing like lifting up the name of Jesus. Oh, talking about God.
I love it. There's an authenticity that happens as well, right? Like, you know, it's like, what's beautiful about it is just like, when you begin trusting someone, right, and you see their faithfulness, you begin to trust them more.
Yes.
And it's like giving God the opportunity to show you just how trustworthy he is very precious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read one time that true trust is believing that God is good no matter what circumstances you're in.
Yeah, that's right.
And no, he's always for you and never against you.
That's right.
I say something, not to point to me, but I find it hard to not be joyful.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people... things happen and we think about the things, our circumstances and our senses and what we're going through, but then when we really concentrate on who's in us and who's really able to overcome us, and we know that the God of glory lives in us and in his presence, we spend time in his presence, we have fullness of joy. It's hard to get depressed.
That's
right. I mean, I'm not saying it was me.
That's right.
It's just I have to fight hard to get depressed. To be depressed.
Well, don't fight that fight. Okay. Joyful. Anyone else? Well, thank you guys. Thank you, church family. I really wanted to share some of this stuff with you today, and I hope you got something out of it. And thank you. This wasn't an exhaustive testimony. Like I said, I didn't have enough time to go over every single detail of what's going on and what God's doing. But I just wanted to kind of show you some of the things where he's just kind of like changed the way I think and how I see. And you know, and it's like, I know he'll bless you in every situation you have. But let's just pray out, and then we'll just go get people Jesus today. All right, Lord, we're just so thankful for this time together. We're thankful, Lord, that, that we could just experience you today. We're thankful, Lord, that the worship that Megan brought as well, Lord, that we've been able to encounter you and get to know you a little bit more, be transformed into you a little bit more today. And we just cry out. We just say, we trust you. We trust you in every situation. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with everything that we have, Lord God. It's the best place for us to put that trust is in you, the one person who will never fail us, the one person who will never disappoint us, the one person who always props us up when we're the weakest, you're the strongest. And it's like, we're so thankful that we have you in our lives. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can walk this out, this life with you in joy and peace, no matter what the circumstances, Lord. We just know you're in the middle. You're in the fire with us. And we're so thankful that you're a God who will never leave and forsake us, always be there and always have our back. Man, it's just a blessing to just have you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.